Yep.
We're good.
Good afternoon. Here in the stream, live on the World Wide Web, James Mischke. Show commencing directly, courtesy of City Pages. Break it down now. What does that mean? I don't know, but sometimes bands respond to that request. Hey, break it down. They're not listening. I said, break it down. Yeah, they're flipping me off. That's all right. It's a glorious March day. The rain's coming down. The skies are gray. It's sloppy outside. And this show's here to stay, and I'm glad you're out there. Number here if you care to call, 651-330-4091. That's 651-330-4091. Should be right there in front of you. I shouldn't even have to say it. What do you mean you're blind? Sad news to report, ladies and gentlemen. I'm quite serious about this. It's something I want to get out of the way right out of the chute, because maybe someone out there can help. Received an email from Kate Murray. It goes as follows. Hi, Tommy. We've never met, but my roommate slash boyfriend slash bandmate slash favorite person in the whole freaking world is a friend of yours. Yesterday afternoon, while Martin Devaney was slaving away at half-price books in Highland, someone went into his vehicle and stole several items, including his laptop. The worst part of it, however, was that they took a bag full of notebooks that he had been working on for months and months and months, his writings, his song ideas, short stories, liner notes, lyrics. Tommy, these things cannot ever be replaced. My heart is aching for this poor guy. I don't know if there's anything you can do to help. Maybe just tell people to keep an eye out for an older silver Dell laptop in local pawn shops or the vintage green canvas messenger bag that contained those precious notebooks. Some jackass probably just rifled through it and tossed it anyway, not seeing any value in the contents. It's probably sitting getting soaked right now on some street corner. Could have been ditched in someone's yard or someone's garbage can. This happened at Ford Parkway in Cleveland, in St. Paul. I don't know, Tommy. I'm desperate at this point. I'd do anything to, at the very least, recover some small part of the lost treasure. Anyone with info or tips maybe can get a hold of you, and you can tell them how to get a hold of me. Thanks, Mischke. Send Martin a hug if you have the chance. Martin Devaney, of course, well-known local singer-songwriter. And this is tragic. Forget the laptop, that's just money, but how do you replace song ideas, short stories, liner notes, lyrics? It's a long shot, people, but every now and then long shots come through. If you know anything about this, get a hold of me, Mischke at citypages.com. That's Mischke at citypages.com. Well, I'm dispensing with the summit today. Little deviation. Going with a little glass of Shiraz. I don't know what it is. Could be the rain. But we'll see how this affects the program. It's all good as far as I'm concerned. I haven't found a downside to it yet. Of course, I haven't spilled. Wait till you hear the... And I go off the air the day I dump a little of this into the machinery. I might just do it on purpose someday. I mean, Keith Moon used to destroy his drum set, and people said, what are you doing, Keith? And he looked at him and he said, hey, yeah, you only live once. It's easy to just finish playing and walk off stage, and it's boring. This is interesting. I'm breaking this stuff. Yeah. The world's cheapest car has just rolled off the assembly line. I repeat, the world's cheapest car just rolled off the assembly line. and I believe they're calling it a tata. No, a poo-poo. Wait a minute. India's Tata Motors has launched the world's cheapest car. Oh, the Nano. It's not a poo-poo or a Tata, although Tata made it. It's a Nano. They're hoping to revolutionize travel for millions. It's a Segway with a windshield, as far as I'm concerned. The global economic crisis is damaging the car industry worldwide. People are not buying cars the way they would have a couple years ago. Maybe this is the ticket, the Tata from Nano. Wait a minute, it's a Nano from Tata. Company boss Ratan Tata said this no-frills vehicle will only cost $2,000. $2,000 you get a car. We're at the gates of offering a new form of transportation to the people all over this world. $2,000, you get a brand new Tata. No, it's a Nano from Tata. I'm going to get this straight yet. It's the Nano from Tata. The Nano from Tata. The cost it is nada. The Nano from Tata. You're going to go gaga. Tell Mama and Papa. The Nano from Tata. It's cheaper than caca. This is a true story, folks. I don't make this up. This is a value-for-your-money car. This is a sleek, beautiful, sporty little piece of shit. I mean, it's you ought to buy it. Nano from Tata! Just get a nice used car that looks like you could survive in a serious accident, huh? Instead of ending up like caca! The size of... Well, stop. Obama looking for exit strategy in Afghanistan. What was our exit strategy in Nam? Let me go into the Wayback Machine. I think it was peace with honor. Wait, that wasn't an exit strategy. It was get in the chopper! Go, Bob! We need a exit strategy in Afghanistan. We can't just leave, apparently. We need a type of game plan, perhaps a diversionary tactic of some sort, something to get the Taliban looking the other way while we bolt. Said President Obama, maybe we should just have some of our soldiers point in the opposite direction and say to the Taliban warlords, look, over there, some Jews. And then while the enemy is turning around, we head back to America. Now that's an exit strategy. Plane in Montana crash did not have a black box. Did you hear about this plane crash? I've been in this cemetery in Butte, Montana. I went to visit the gravesite of Frank Little. Who knows who Frank Little is? I tell you what, for a copy of the home game, call me now and tell me who Frank Little was. 651-330-4091. That's 330-4091, son. 330-4091, hon, in 651. Who was Frank Little? Give you a hint. I dreamed I saw Frank Little tonight. What? Oh, it's Joe Hill. Frank Little. I don't have all day. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Am I on the air? I mean, am I on a webcast? I mean, am I being heard? Let me double check that. Why don't you email me over at City Pages? Just let me know a thumbs up or thumbs down on webcasting viability. Over. Rec Leader 1. This is ground control. Come in. No black box over here. It's on Frank Little's grave. Frank was buried in a black box. Okay. And I'm starting to get worried. Hang on a second. Just check. I can make sure here. No email. This is disturbing. Maybe I'll look up at my producer and see if we're on. Oh, I don't have one. Maybe I'll turn on a radio here, see if I'm coming through. There is no freaking radio. It's 2:09. By now, I would have been emailed. Okay, thumbs up, thumbs up. Charles Hodder in Seattle, very good. Neil Wooler, very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. It's not fair to wait too long on this Frank Little thing because you guys will just Wikipedia the guy. Forget it. It's over now. You don't get to call and tell me who Frank Little was. Frank Little was a union organizer, Butte, Montana, back in the 1920s, 30s, somewhere in there, maybe 40s. I know they didn't like him much at the mines. Well, the workers did. The bosses didn't. They came to his hotel room one time there in Butte, Montana, dragged him downstairs, tied him to the back of a car, dragged him all over Butte, and then hung him from a railroad trestle. So his grave is there. At the bar I worked at years ago, they had a picture of him on the wall in his casket from the visitation. They're proud of their man, Frank. That's what they did to union organizers back then. So anyway, this plane crashes into the very same graveyard where Frank Little's buried. You'd hate to survive that plane crash, open your eyes, and you're already in the cemetery. But here's the deal, no black box. Federal aviation officials say the plane that crashed in Montana, killing 14, didn't have a cockpit voice recorder. Didn't have a flight data recorder. Didn't have a black box. This is ridiculous. In 2009, I have a freaking black box in my car. You can get them from Tata in a nanosecond. What do you mean you didn't have a black box in the plane? How can they build planes anymore with black boxes? It's like buying an automobile without seat belts. Black box. It's what you need if you're going to pass along the info of what happened in the event of a crash. I have one just under the steering wheel and off to the right, just under the dashboard, actually. Recovery of Mishki's black box has resulted in authorities determining driver error was the cause once again. You can hear the driver using the voice data recorder saying, "I'm taking that bastard out, kids. Hang on." By the way, you know one of the more entertaining aspects of preparing for this show? I like to sometimes use Microsoft Word. Well, when I type Mishki, it says, "You've got to be kidding me. That's not a word." And it replaces it with mischief. I mean, it could be worse, you know. I have a friend named Plick. His last name is P-L-I-C-K. You wouldn't want to know what they do to that poor guy. I want a black box on my bicycle. The new Schwinn black box. I want a black box for when the black box crashes. We ought to get a black box for a black box. Imagine how different it would all seem if black boxes were white, people. Picture the black box as a white box, and what happens? Well, you don't dare open it. Don't touch that, Dan. We believe it contains the voice of God. It's the black box of God. It's the white box. It says what happened. I mean, what happened? The big fall? You know, and what was it, Eden? The fall from grace, the white box has the details. What's in the pink box, Craig? Why, those are my wife's unmentionables. What are they doing in there? Well, if she ever cheats on me, this pink box tells me what happened exactly. Was it husband error or what? Well, why are the unmentionables needed? No, they're in there. They act as a conductor or something in order to get sound, or it's a ground or something. We need them. I know that. There's a box for everything. A lot of bicycle accidents today. No black boxes were recovered. Lance Armstrong took a spill. Rough one. He broke his collarbone. I don't know what that's going to do to his future plans involving the Tour de France. We also had a bicycle accident involving Lauer. What's Lauer's first name? Matt. Matt crashed. A flip off his bicycle took today's show co-host Matt Lauer off the air. He was riding his bike on Long Island. A deer jumped into his path. He flipped over. He broke his collarbone. So he and Lance have something in common. Matt's interviewing Sheryl Crow this week. Interesting. That's not a coincidence. Black boxes. Black box. Black box. Black box. Let me pause momentarily to regroup. Are you on a diet? You should be. You looked in the mirror recently. No, serious. Have you counted those chins? Camper, you need a bookmark to find your collar. Are you on a diet right now? Yes or no? If you are, I probably can tell you what kind of a diet you're on. I have every diet throughout history. Decade by decade, I have the diets offered. Let's see, we're at 2009. Okay, so you're either on a celebrity-endorsed diet, portion-controlled diet, an organic diet, using a diet delivery service, or you're on something called a sweet and savory diet. You know, I have a book here in the other room that I got from my dad after he died. I only took a couple books from him, but one of them was his diet plan. Let me grab it here.
I'm in the middle of a show. Could you send that dial tone down the line?
Let me grab this book that Pop had. Hang on.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night. Alive as you or me, Joe Hill, I thought you died, said I. I never died, said he.
Okay, here we go. I took two books from Pop. One was by Augustine, the theologian, and the other one was this. It's by Martin R. Lipp, M.D., Marty Lipp. It's a real book. You can find it if you research. It's very old. What's the copyright on this baby? Marty Lipp, M.D. Oh, it goes back to 84. Pop was trying that diet in 84, huh? Here is my old man's diet. The I Like My Beer Diet, a 12-day weight loss program that includes 3 beers a day. Marty Lipp, M.D. On the back of the jacket, there's Marty. He looks like a regular doctor, but he's holding up a big pint of booze. Well, no, it's just that looks like it's just a lager there. Marty Lipp. Let's see. Marty Lipp is a physician specializing in emergency medicine. He's the author of The Bitter Pill and Respectful Treatment. An avid beer drinker who likes good food, he goes on the I Like My Beer Diet several times a year, always successfully. He lives in California. I'd like to track this guy down. Each day's menu includes breakfast, lunch, dinner, and, of course, beer. The I Like My Beer Diet offers 3 options for each meal. The I Like My Beer Diet may sound too good to be true, but it works. So reach for your favorite brew and follow Marty Lipp's diet, the I Like My Beer Diet. You'll find yourself 10 or more pounds lighter in just 12 days. Cheers. Yeah. Where was I, or why did I pull this off the shelf? Oh, I got all the diets through history. 1930s and 40s diet trends included what? Smoking. The I Like My Cigs diet. I'm not kidding you. Back in the 30s, Lucky Strike used the line, reach for a Lucky instead of a sweet. And it worked. All over America, people realized, yeah, instead of chewing on some chocolate, I'll have a cig. People were losing weight left and right. A lot of them didn't know they were losing it because of the metastasizing cancer, but they were losing weight left and right. Women looking for a quicker fix back then opted for something called Master Cleanse. Please tell me that didn't involve a hose. Developed by Stanley Burroughs, the diet allowed only lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup. Believe it or not, today, Beyonce says she uses the same program to shed pounds prior to acting in films. Really? Cayenne pepper, lemon juice, and maple syrup. That's it? The I like my bad libation concoction diet. Why don't you just drink beer, Beyonce? Works for Marty Lip! 1950s, the big diet, prayer. You heard me, prayer. The Christian dieting industry exploded in the 1950s. After losing 100 pounds, Reverend Charlie Shedd, and that's his real last name, Shedd. So far we have Marty Lip, Charlie Shedd, and Beyonce Knowles. Charlie Shedd wrote the book Pray Your Weight Away. Go on, pray your weight away. Go on, pray your weight away. It was published in 1957. Turned out to be a bestseller. He ended up writing other books. I Prayed Myself Thin, Help Lord, The Devil Wants Me Fat, and The Way Down Diet, which advised readers not to confuse physical hunger for what was really spiritual hunger. Now, people thought after the 1950s this trend died out. No, this decade we're in right now has a book out by Dr. Colbert, M.D., called What Would Jesus Eat? You know, we don't know the answers to any of these questions. What would Jesus blank? He's gone. We can't ask him. He's not gone, Tom. He's here with us right now. Well, he's not saying anything then. What would Jesus eat? How many what would Jesus blanks are there? I want to do everything Jesus did. From the day that holy man was a kid. I want to eat everything Jesus ate. I want it served on a Jesus plate. I want to wear clothes that Jesus wore. I want to go shopping at a Jesus store. I want to grow Jesus facial hair. Want to ride a jackass everywhere. Want to have my feet washed by a chick. Want to figure out what made the dude tick. Everything he did, I want to try it. But first, I'm starting with the Jesus diet. A boom, a jack, 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 a boom. In the 1960s, the diet trends included support groups. I'm not losing any weight, are you, Doug? Nope. Crap. In 1970s, diet pills appeared. Two in the mouth. 1980s, the Scarsdale diet. How come whenever I hear Scarsdale, I want it to be followed by murder? Wasn't there a Scarsdale murder? That's another way to diet. 1990s diet trend, low carb. That would be your Atkins, as in Chet. And now we're on to the celebrity-endorsed portion control, organic diet delivery, sweet and savory, a diet approach. Though we're still asking, what would Orson Welles do? No, we're not asking that. What's this? Neil checking in. What do you have, Neil? Mishki, if you want to, you can add Mishki to your MS Word Dictionary, Microsoft Word Dictionary. I think the easiest way to do this is to type Mishki into a Microsoft Word document, then tools, / spelling and grammar. No, don't you get it? I like when I type Mishki that mischief comes up. Didn't I say it was one of the joys of my day? If it ain't broken, don't fix it, Neil. Mr. Actuary. What's an actuary anyway? I'd like to research Neil here. He's an actuarial associate. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to put that into a search engine here and find out what you do, Neil. Actuary. Anybody got a match? Hey. I was at the pitch meeting today. I need another name for that meeting. That doesn't sound right. Over at City Pages every Monday, Some of the writers and editors get together and throw out story ideas and blogging ideas, online news ideas, things like that, feature ideas. And Andrea Swenson wasn't there, and I thought she had died because she had been down at South by Southwest, music editor at City Pages, and I thought something might have happened because in Texas you can jaywalk. They'll give you the electric chair. But it turns out she had so much to write because of being down there for so long that she was busy at her desk. So I popped my head in the door, and I said, mind if I rifle through the music library? She said, have at it, Mishko, and I stole a bunch of stuff, including Brianna Lane. Anybody know this woman? I like her voice, but then I've never met a female singer whose voice I didn't like. Brianna Lane. I'll give you a sample. I just got my finger caught in the CD. Ow! I got this at the Goodwill. Hang on a second.
Porch light is burned.
What's that over?
I can't even leave it. The porch light is burned out. I can't even leave it on for you if I wanted to. I'm living too close to the big city. I keep my door locked. Don't even hide. My bedroom window faces the backyard. Come through the side gate, tap on that window, not so hard. You might wake the neighbor's dog, but I will let you in. If you don't catch me dreaming, I will let you in. Through my kitchen door, yeah, I will let you in. If you don't catch me dreaming, I will let you in. You're coming in from third shift, you smell like a waitress, serving customers for pocket change and cigarettes all night long. Refrigerator's humming, I sink a drip, dripping there. Ain't no pie in the window, still sitting there waiting for you. But I'll let you in. If you don't catch me dreaming, I will let you in. Through my kitchen door, yeah. You if you don't catch me dreaming, I will let you in.
Brianna Lane. I pretend like I'm sleeping. There's a voice, huh? Where do these people come from? What information do I have on this woman? Oh, I need glasses to read that. What the hell's that say? I can't read that. Oh, can't read it. The type's too small. Well, music bought me an opportunity to get a match so I could hang with you guys. With greater joy in my heart. Okay. All's well with the world now. Man recovers after killer bee attack in Nevada. You ever had a killer bee sting you? I know a guy who got stung once down in Texas. A friend of mine was down there. He got a bee sting from an Africanized killer bee. He said it hurt like a son of a bitch. I said, imagine getting five. He said, whoa. This guy got 2,000 stings. 53-year-old fellow. Hospitalized right now, one day after being stung, 2,000 times. And what authorities are calling the worst bee attack ever in Nevada. In the 1970s, I was a young boy sitting on a toilet reading Reader's Digest, and I read that the killer bees were coming. I didn't like looking at that kind of stuff back then. It scared me. But they were coming up from South America, and they were expected to move north, and I thought we all were going to die. Of course, you know, I was raised with that Christian indoctrination where you figured natural forces were going to do you in eventually. So these doggone bees were coming up north, and I'll never forget the line, cantankerous and unpredictable. That's how they were described. And that just was seared into my brain, cantankerous and unpredictable. Well, it turns out they never really got into going that far north. And they pretty much hang out where it's warm, which is why I live here still. But this poor guy, he's working a backhoe, and he accidentally disturbed a nest of Africanized killer bees. He overturned a boulder while operating this backhoe, and it was the largest hive anybody had ever seen. They just came at him from everywhere. He was stung in his face, his arms, his neck, his back, his legs, calf, feet. They went up his nose. They went down his throat. There were so many, no one could see the skin on him, another worker said. We didn't know what to do. We had guns, but we didn't dare shoot. Well, one guy did, and that's just another hole in the poor SOB. One of the vector control guys with the county said it was the largest hive anyone had ever seen. Back in 2000, a 77-year-old Vegas woman was stung 550 times. She survived. In 2003, a horse was killed after being stung only 400 times. Here's the interesting thing. Experts urge people under attack to run as fast as possible, saying it is possible to outrun bees if you can run fast enough. Well, I'd like to argue that it's possible to outrun anything if you run fast enough. The hell does that mean? 2,000 times. Man, I mean, it's not funny. Unless you use the rule I use for humor, which is proximity or distance in time and geographic distance. Further you go to the past, the more you can make fun of it. For instance, it wasn't really good to do a Kennedy assassination joke November 23rd, 1963, but you make one now, people smile, you go on with your day. But proximity, too. You could have made a joke about the assassination of Anwar Sadat before you could Kennedy, if you're talking about the time passing. Not as much time had to pass with Sadat as had to pass with Kennedy, because geographically you were looking at a greater distance. That's a rule. Generally, you use that rule. So this is in Nevada. We're in Minnesota. We're chuckling. And we're imagining it as cartoon. If this is our dad, then the cartoon goes away, and that's sad when that happens. I like to always keep the cartoon front and center on this show. Life is a cartoon on the old broadcast. I have some dope on these bees and what their true story is in terms of where they really came from. I think the CIA brought them to take out African American. Nope, that's AIDS. Hang on a second. I know where they came from. I'll tell you. I got the dope right here. Brazil. Oh, they're Brazilian. Yeah, you can tell because of the whole bikini wax deal they got going. It hurt. It hurt me. It hurt. It hurt me. It hurt. It hurt me getting stung by that killer bee. The second sting made it worse. I'll recite for you chapter, and verse. Every sting that came that fateful day, I'll tell you how it caused me pain in every way. I'm 53, and I was just taken out by the killer bees. Listen to that, though. 2000, this is going to be a long song. It hurt. Oh, it hurt me. Getting stung by that killer bee. But the second sting made it even worse. I'll now recite for you chapter and verse. Wow. The third sting had me falling down. The scream, they say, was a hideous sound, but not as bad as my horrid moan, as I saw 10 more form a small cyclone and call the rest to get in line. I counted 2,000 before I went blind, each one stung with grace and aplomb. Each one had me screaming for my mom. They made a pin cushion out of my bod. They had me on the ground screaming, Mother of God! The first 500 were just a tease. I had yet to feel the brunt of these killer bees. At 1,000 stings, I said, can we take a break? So we stopped for a smoke on the shore of a lake. I think I'll stop for a smoke right now. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So we stopped for a smoke on the shore of a lake. And after that, this one big jerk said, okay, bees, back to work. And neighbors gathered round to see the blood and gore, the barber and the owner of the hardware store, the mailman, the butcher, and some retired nurse. They watched and called for the local hearse. And a man drove up. He was a foreigner. I said, who are you? He said, I'm the coroner. I said, please shoot me now, right in the head. He said, the bees are all you need if you're looking to get dead. I said, I realize that, but I want to die quicker. And here, my friends, is the freaking kicker. He said, if I killed you now, I'd feel regret, and the people watching would be upset, because natural forces are at play, and we must let them play out the natural way. So the sun went down, and late into the night, the bees continued to sting with all their might. I begged and pleaded for a little relief. Asked a couple of them, what the hell's your beef? But they didn't hear what I had to ask. They just went about their solemn task, as if they were directed by God, as if the Lord himself gave each one the nod, as if divine forces compelled them to do it. Well, by morning, I was damn near getting used to it. They wrapped up at noon, and I laid there alone, and then dug in my pocket for my trusty cell phone. The people around me said it was a pathetic yelp. I hit 911 and simply cried, help. 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 There's a 911 call for you. 1,000 bees into a 2,000 bee attack. 911 call. Someone call up, tell me what that sounds like. Hey, the actuary's writing back. Let's see. What is an actuary? An actuary calculates the financial value of risk. You monetize risk, huh? If you have too much time on your hands, you could frequent actuarialpost.com. There's a discussion forum there for actuary freaks and fetishists. All right. Neil, I may take you up on that. You must be real busy having all this time to email during your work day. You want to explain to me how you're able to do that?
Webcast.
It's magic.
What's magic?
The way a mirror works.
The way a mirror works? what was my question? I don't remember.
You asked how a mirror works, but that was a couple months ago.
That's the problem, Mosh. You got to stay current, buddy. I did ask how a mirror worked, and I recall back then not getting anyone to answer. Did anyone answer?
I was screaming at the radio. It's magic. It's magic.
Please don't say that, because there's a guy out there who now feels he's being called upon to play that song for me. He's been a serial caller. I answer the phone, and it's magic. You can have anything that you desire. And now you just reminded him. Okay. What are you doing, Moshe?
Well, I had to get in on your on the program. Had to make sure to make an honorable appearance.
Honorary. We'll decide later if it's honorable.
Honorable. It's the first time I'm sitting by the computer between 2 and 4, so So I say,
we got to get you. We got to get you set up so when you're on the road, you can listen. You know that that's possible, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, it apparently with this program is not yet on account of some people in Phoenix helping me out a little bit with whatever technologically is necessary to have it on an iPhone or a handheld device. I have guys donating money. I'm not joking. To get Phoenix to do this so that we can have this broadcast on your average handheld device or internet radio or iPhone.
The kicker is it's 4:30. It's 4:30 in Tokyo. So when I'm in Japan, it's going to be hard for me to call in.
Yeah, why do you go to Japan so much?
It's a great place.
Yeah, but why do you go there for work though?
Kosher food.
Yeah, I just don't think of that in Japan.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
But you see, actually, the traditional Japanese food, a lot of it is the natural stuff, the soybean-based, soy sauce and something called miso, which is the paste they make soup out of. All that stuff has been kosher for a couple thousand years.
Now, when you're inspecting some plant in Japan, do you ever say to the guys, "You call this kosher? We're shutting this place down."
There's a little picture they have. You know, it's in many ways they're very childish. A lot of things. You see a guy wearing a custom-made suit, custom-made shoes. Very, very wealthy man. His cell phone rings. He pulls out his cell phone. Dangling from his cell phone is a like Tinkerbell or Goofy. It's a weird society. They've got a lot of weird things. Anyway, on the elevators, they've got a little thing not to pinch your fingers. So it's a crab. They have a little picture of a crab with his claws there. Like, don't put your fingers there, right?
Right.
So I go to my translator. I say, "Hiroshi, you remember Hiroshi? You spoke to him on the phone."
Sure.
So I said, "Hiroshi, it's not kosher." He says, "It's not plate. It's an elevator." So I say, "Yeah, but you know they're saying that they have crab here. It's not kosher." You know, then he gets it. He's a smart guy.
Well, in all seriousness, have you ever said to somebody, you know, you guys think you've been doing it the right way, but you haven't been, and I don't know how many people you've been feeding here, but they haven't been getting the right stuff?
I've been pretty lucky. Most of the stuff we do has been checking out just fine. Just fine. And they, you know, the fact of the matter is also that people are buying kosher, not so much just, you know, not really just the Jewish public. People buy it because they see it as an additional sign of good quality, which is true, because the fact is, I walk into a plant, I don't like the looks of things, even if it's kosher. I write to the office, I say, don't want to eat this stuff.
Hey, I had a little kosher picnic yesterday. I went to Cecil's and got some...
Oh, yeah, heck, you know, beer is kosher. You know?
Oh, yeah. The guy said to me, "You want to go kosher?" I said, "Hell, yeah. You never know when I'm going to be talking to the rabbi. Give it to me kosher, buddy. I can take it." So we had a little kosher picnic, the family and I, down by Minnehaha Falls.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, it's beautiful weather.
It was.
Beautiful weather. So it's moving along for you over here?
So far, so good. You know, I was unemployed for 3 months in this economy. I very likely could have assumed I'd never work again. And lo and behold, here I am back in front of a microphone. All I can do is be grateful.
And I just heard your ode to the bumblebee.
Don't go south, Moshe. I'm telling you.
No, I know. I know. It was a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Tommy, you be well. God bless you, and we should only hear good things from you.
God bless you, Moshe. Talk
Take
to you later.
Care.
Bye-bye. Mango Moshe, my rabbi. And I'm not even a Jew. Well, I kind of am. I'm a little bit Jewish, and I'm a little bit Christian. I got a little bit of Buddhist in my heart. Depends what kind of shape I'm in. I was going to get me a religion once, and I went out, and I went looking, and I found a little something I liked in all of them, even voodoo. Now, the average person listening right now says, "Mishko, what could you possibly like in voodoo?" True story. In voodoo, in that religion, they have a rule, and you have to follow it if you want to follow the voodoo religion. You cannot go to bed at night without having made someone happy during the day. Now, who out there would have thought that was part of voodoo? But it is. All right. What are we going to do now? Clark Seifert checking in, architect sales manager, Georgia Pacific Gypsum, LLC. He says, "Did Paul get his computer?" No, Paul did not. And let me tell you why he didn't, Clark. Paul's broke. I thought Paul was going to pay for an internet computer, and then all I would have to do is get someone to show up and put it in for him. But it turns out he wants to trade. I said, Paul, what do you have to trade? He says, I'll tell people stories. I said, okay, Paulie. This is old Paul, you know. I said, okay, Paulie, you can tell people stories, and they'll spend whatever it costs to get you an internet radio. He said, that'd be great. Well, no takers thus far. Should I give Paulie a ring? Hang on a second. His phone number's in the other room. Magic! You can have anything that you desire. Magic! I'll call him right now. See if the old bastard's around. Let's see. Paulie. There's his number.
763-421.
Hello?
Yeah, Paulie!
Huh?
Yeah,
Paulie! You're right.
Right about what?
Everything.
Hey, we got a fella checking in here asking if you've gotten your
computer
yet.
I don't have a computer. No. I wouldn't know how to fix one if I had one. Yeah,
that's the problem, Paulie. And you, you want to trade, though. I was telling the folks, you want to have someone set you up with an internet radio, and in return, on their deathbed...
I'll talk to them, yeah. Well, listen to me, you jackass.
Yeah, you can't call me that.
Yes, I can.
Actually, you're right.
Wait, your brother was sick. Your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You remember?
I remember.
Okay. I didn't know him from Adam. Right?
That's right, Paulie.
I sent him $75. Remember?
You did, Paulie.
And then I had a bunch of stuff I was going to give you to set to auction for him, right?
That's true, Paulie.
Why is he any better than me?
He's not. And I'm telling you, if it was 75 bucks to get you all hooked up, we'd have taken care of that by now. I'd have given you that kind of dough.
I told you I lost so much money in the stock thing. I don't have much money now.
Oh, I know, Paulie. I saw your apartment. We got to get you some furniture, actually, before a computer. What are we going to set it on?
Well, I got all kinds of furniture.
That's not what I saw. I mean, you call that
furniture? Yeah, in the other room, I got all kinds.
They call that stuff gimcrack, gee-gaw, you know?
No, it's good furniture.
Tell it to the... Here, I'm going to... Division. Here, I'm going to mention to Clark Seifert that we do not have Paulie set up yet, but if Clark wants to help out, he should... Annie, Clark's a golfer, and maybe you could tell him some great old stories of golfing with Tucker, Forrest Tucker.
Well, I know my stories are all true. They're not, they're facts.
I'm not arguing with you, Paulie.
You know that.
Paulie, I've never doubted you. Have you seen your photograph in the latest City Pages?
No, but I've sure had people tell me about you, bugger. And you lied to me. You lied to me because you said to me that you were just going to put it up for the old people to look at it. And you're telling me I called your show. They all know who I am.
Wally, it's all in fun, buddy.
Well, everything is fun with you as long as it's not on you.
Paulie, you got to admit, you're getting a little notoriety out of this, and I'm thinking you might even get a date out of it.
Well, I hope not. A date? I've had so many dates in my life that I wish I wouldn't have any of them.
Well, Paulie, I'm going to try to get you taken care of on this radio. I'm going to put a deadline of April 1st.
This guy, I know tons of stories, and I got tons of letters to prove it. Plus, I just called a guy in the Los Angeles Times, you know,
yeah.
for course, he's going to look up on a tape, not a tape, another thing, where they have a library of a tournament I played in and all the great golfers I beat.
All right, Paulie.
I'm not kidding you. I was good.
You were the best, Paulie. Let them know what you shot the last time you swung a golf club.
I shot over there 66. I had 7 birdies.
66, last time Paulie played golf. That's the way you go out. If you got to have a last round, Paulie, that's the way you do it. Of course,
yeah,
now,
but that was 20-some years ago.
I know, Paulie. You're 85 and it's over. The golfing is done, although they can't take away your mind. You can still sit in a lawn chair and teach somebody. And
I don't sit down when I teach all the time.
It's not when I noticed in the photographs you were showing.
Well, that's just to relax.
Yeah. All right, Paulie.
My neck. Hope said to me he didn't care. I sat down just to.
Bob Hope said that?
Yeah, he said just so you don't go to sleep.
Yeah, that's the kind of humor he had when no one was writing for him.
Let me tell you something. He never laughed. When I was around him, all he talked about was golf.
No, he laughed behind your back when you were gone.
No, he didn't. He's a good guy.
Yeah, all the good guys are dead, though. All the people.
I'm not.
I'll reiterate, all the good guys are dead. Over the years, Paulie, you taught a lot of great actors, singers, entertainers, all the best of the best of Hollywood. But what did that get them? They're all pushing up daisies.
Well, no, but the point is, they were nice people to me.
Fred McMurray wasn't.
One guy left them.
Fred McMurray wasn't. Fred McMurray was the cheapest son of a bitch.
Yes, that's true, but he still was nice. Just cheap, that's all. But I found out he owned a big bunch of wine he bought before he died up in Napa.
Yeah, well, Ernie and Chip drank it. He didn't
Who?
Get to nothing.
You know that one guy still know that like you know Tom Selleck?
No, Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
He's the only guy in Hollywood who voted for Bush.
Well, I'll tell you that his brother Bob is a friend of mine. He was a pitcher for the Dodgers.
Oh yeah, he was the ugly Selleck.
He's a nice-looking, tall guy.
Easy. The only reason he ended up playing baseball, he tried to figure out how to get girls. Tom was getting them all. He couldn't get one. He heard something about groupies and athletes. He learned to pitch.
He was a good pitcher.
Paulie, did you get groupies as a pro golfer?
What?
Groupies.
Group lessons?
Groupies. Do you know what a groupie is?
No.
Dear Lord.
Huh?
Dear Lord.
Why do you mean a bunch of queers? Is that what you're talking about?
Is that who you had for groupies? No.
Are you kidding?
No. Hey, Paulie, groupies is a term for, you know, I guess it could be men or women, but who hang around and kind of want to, because you're a hot shot and power's the greatest aphrodisiac, blah, blah, blah. They want to get you in bed with Henry Kissinger. I mean, they want to, you know, go backstage with you, wherever that is on a golf course. I don't know, the bushes.
Never heard that. No, I never have.
God love you. I'll be in touch.
Am I on the air?
We don't have air here. This is a webcast. I gotta go.
Oh.
All right, Paulie.
Bye.
All right.
Lifeguards get off sleeping. The waitress sings of free cold biscuits. The light in the morning sets you crying. Dragon Missouri River, Dragon Missouri River. Who will be your lover, stranger? Who will make your heart afraid? The boat's only bound a sunken tree stump. Dragon Missouri River, Dragon Missouri River.
Chamberlain wants you. Nothing has changed. The bridge the same.
Mark Olson and Gary Louris. Ready for the Flood. A CD I got from Andrea. Did she tell me, music editor over at City Pages, did she tell me they used to be with Jayhawks? Anyway, that's what I was playing there. First track off that CD. This show was brought to you by Mark Moeller of R.F. Moeller Jeweler. Tommy and Jimmy Leonard of Fury Motors. That's Fury Motors. Davey Ulrich of the Spectacle Shop. And Mark Rutzik from All Incorporated, otherwise known as All Cabinets and Appliances. What do they do to make this show possible? They pony up. A lot of money. Costs a lot of money. You see them at citypages.com. You see them in the paper. You hear them here. You see videos when you click on their ads at citypages.com. The one common denominator, they're all friends of mine. They're all people I knew long before I started this gig, and in some cases, they're people I've known all my life. Let's start with Marky Moeller at R.F. Moeller Jeweler. He gave me one assignment when he sent me this way toward this microphone. He said, get the people getting married into my dorm, Ishko. He said, I'll take care of that, Marky. Getting engaged, they're getting married, they're looking for a ring, they're heading to you. Tell them this. Last thing you tell them at the end of the ad, Ishko, you say to them, we've never lost a sale here because of price. Never. I said, Mark, if you've never lost a sale because of price, I already know the quality of your diamonds. You're not going to lose any sales then. Everybody I send to you will buy there. Every single person. He said, if that works out, I'll fund other projects you get involved with, camper. He said to me. I said, thanks, pal. Now, the Fury boys, Tommy and Jimmy, over the weekend, I was putting together a video for them. I really dig this video because it has a song by the Stones in it I had never heard before, mostly because I wasn't much of a Stones guy. I mean, I knew all the ones that would play on any classic radio station, but this one you didn't hear play on classic radio stations. I got a brand new car. Anyway, I tucked it into this video. I thought it fit nicely. And I hang out with Red Leonard, Tommy and Jimmy's dad, around some old classic cars he owns, including an old Fury. And what a car that was. Swivel seat. Golly. Anyway, I juxtaposed the beginning of Fury in 1963 with Fury Motors today, Lake Elmo, South St. Paul. And the video, I think, captures the essence of what you're going to get when you go knocking on their door for a used car or a new car. They deal in Chrysler, Dodge, and the glorious Jeep, one of my favorite vehicles of all time. Used to have a Grand Wagoneer, 1970. Took it down to Chicago one time. There was an overweight fella riding shotgun who had the wheel well pushing down on the wheel, causing the rubber to burn. We blew out a tire. Made him diet. Actually, I put him on the 3-beer-a-day diet, I think. Where was I? Oh, I was talking about the Spectacle Shop. Dave Ulrich at the Spectacle Shop likes eyeglasses the way Michael Jackson likes children. Dave has traveled the world finding eyeglass frames in all 159 countries. And he has a pair actually from the 1200s. That was the century glasses were invented. Dave Ulrich of the Spectacle Shop inspired me to write a little song called Our Glasses Kick Their Asses. And you can click on the ad there at citypages.com, listen to the little ditty I wrote for Davey and watch the video I made for him as well. Marky Moeller has a video, too. The only guy who doesn't have a video is Mark Rutzik of All Cabinets and Appliances. Well, what's his problem? I'll have to talk to him. But he's got the finest kitchens you'll ever see. I keep telling people, it's a tough economy. You're broke. Grab your gal. Go down to Harriet Island on Plato. You'll find it all incorporated. Walk in. Say, Mishki said my date and I should come here. Sit down at a table. Have a glass of wine. See if you're baking any cookies today. Enjoy the music, the ambiance, the extraordinary beauty of the place, and treat it like a date. Is that cool with you? They'll say cool with us. Do it. Please take me up on this. It's a wonderful way to spend some time without spending any money. It's like sitting in your kitchen, except it's prettier than your kitchen. At night, after it's all been clean, you've dimmed the lights, you're pouring each other a glass of wine, you're sitting, the music's playing, you're saying, I'm glad I married you, babe. Glad I married you, sweetheart. Boom. Done. Finished. All right? Three bells! Time to call Emily. Three bells on the dot.
This is Emily.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
Emily Kaiser, ladies and gentlemen of City Pages, responsible every day for the blotter. For those of you who have never experienced citypages.com, could I just ask how the hell you're listening to me right now? For those of you who have never perused the offerings there day in and day out, check out the blotter updates throughout the day. And what do you have for us today, Emily?
Well, the first thing that we did this morning is the smiley face killer conspiracy is back.
The smiley face killer. I love that name. Do you know they had a bank robber, Emily, last week at a TCF in town that they identified only as a guy with a pointy nose? Did you catch that?
Yeah, was that the one that was also really friendly?
Yeah, but I don't recall, but I just love the idea that there's a pointy nose bandit out there. We've milked all the African terms. But the smiley face serial killer, explain to people who the devil that is, or it's a mythical figure in some people's minds.
Yes, well, I think they have kind of concluded that it might be a gang of smiley face killers. That basically there's a lot of young college men who are found drowned in rivers or lakes or bodies of water near their schools. And there's this conspiracy that there's this gang of people out killing these young men because there's no way that they could have all accidentally died in a river while they were drunk.
We had some locally, right?
Yes, there was one U of M student, I think that was in 2003, and then there were a couple up in St. Cloud, and there have been a couple down in the Mississippi, down kind of in Wisconsin schools.
And here's the weird thing, and I really think this is bizarre. They're perfectly healthy college kids who are just found floating in the river. And mm-hmm. The assumption is, by authorities in all cases, well, must have been suicide. Or they slipped and fell. They were hammered leaving a bar. But it's, and then often nearby is found a smiley face, correct?
Yes, that's the thing that's connecting, is that they find some kind of graffiti smiley face near the site where they think that they fell in.
And there are a couple of retired New York City detectives, I believe, who believe this is legit, and they are working for some of the families to get to the bottom of this, even though non-retired law enforcement officials don't seem to give it much credit, much credence.
No, and the FBI has debunked it, said there's no evidence besides, you know, the smiley face that would lead it. You know, obviously there are similar kinds of graffiti all over the place, and it's, you know, the chance of finding something that looks maybe like a smiley face is pretty probable, and that they don't have any evidence that, you know, they were using a similar method or that there was any kind of sign that they had struggled before they were killed.
Now, I'm a fan of the show 24, and what you'd learn from years of watching 24 is if the FBI is poo-pooing this, the FBI is behind it. That's the first thing you learn watching that show. If they're saying, we really can't find any connection, well, then you guys are killing them. That's my belief. Why is this being resurrected now?
Well, the KSDP reporter, Christy Peel, was the one who kind of did the big investigation that got a lot of attention. She's not at KSDP anymore, but she's kind of taken this on as her full-time job to
Seriously?
Continue investigating this. Yeah, they started a website, and so they've gained like 70 cases, they think, that are all pretty similar. And so these families are all calling for a federal investigation into this.
Well, so this KSDP reporter quits her job to make this her full-time gig?
She did not quit. I'm pretty sure she was either laid off or fired. I'm not
I hate
sure
it when KSDP people get fired. I never understand
I know,
why that happens.
Tough thing.
I would like to talk to her. I wonder if I could.
She was on Good Morning America this morning, so she's talking and obviously trying to get the story out because this is going to be her big break, I'm guessing, is what she thinks.
Well, how do you get people to jump when, you know, the only way to get authorities to really get involved and take this seriously is to get people who aren't associated with these families putting pressure on them. It's not enough. These guys can go to bed easily saying, don't worry about it. If it's just families putting pressure on them, it's got to go beyond that. It's got to be whole communities all over America saying, hey, take care of these people. There's some evidence here. I just don't think they're going to take it seriously until somebody outside the families does something, a politician, somebody with some gravitas. I don't know who it would be. Is there any sense with this latest push that this thing could finally become an open case again in some department?
Well, there was one case that I can't remember if it was on NBC, also did a story this morning, but they both, one of them showed video footage of this kid that died, looking totally normal, only having two beers, like, from footage in the bar, looking totally normal, not drunk at all. And then later on, you see him outside of the bar, like, the last scene of him before he disappeared, where he's, like, stumbling and he looks confused. And so people are thinking he might have been drugged. And then that might have been kind of a method that had been used in killing these guys, is that maybe they were drugged before, and that might be why they weren't seen struggling.
So they're really pretty certain. How would they know that he only had a couple of beers?
The dad was the one talking about this, and I'm guessing he watched the entire footage of him sitting in the bar and didn't see him drink any other beers or order other beers. But he did, in the footage they showed, he looked like he was just talking with his friends, and, I mean, he wasn't doing anything crazy or acting, you know, he wasn't stumbling around the bar or anything.
Well, and what do they say to that? What's their, I suppose I could just say, well, we agree that that's kind of suspicious, but we have no evidence, tangible evidence, anything we can look at that says he was murdered. I mean, they're obviously, they're needing something beyond, yeah, that's odd, that's strange, but give us something, show us something that... That motive or tire tracks or something, you know, maybe evidence on the person when they recover them. Are these people robbed? Are they found with their wallets?
I don't think that there was any evidence that anything happened to them. That, you know, any of their money was taken or anything. And a lot of people are saying that it's just something that isn't worth FBI's time because, you know, they're just these drunk college kids, and, you know, drunk college kids do stupid things. And
you know, at the writers' meeting this morning, I thought you said the number is as high for number of murders, if these are murders, as high right now as 70?
Yeah, that's what they've collected. I mean, they're obviously, after that report went national last year, she's been getting a lot of people calling and saying, you know, well, my son also died, you know, was drunk, and they said it was accidental. I don't think it was. You know, there's lots of parents who kind of refuse to believe that their kid would just, you know, walk onto a body of water and drown.
Right, right.
On their own accord, so.
All right. What else you got?
Well, we have another Money Bachman quote, as usual. This weekend she was on WWTC, which is the 12 AM station. And she was on the Northern Alliances. And she was talking about, she basically is calling herself a foreign correspondent now. That's her job in the House of Representatives, is that she's a foreign correspondent on enemy lines. So she's trying to get everything back to us, to know exactly all the activities that are taking place in Washington. And then she went on to say that she wants people in Minnesota to be, quote, armed and dangerous on this issue of the energy tax, because we, the people, are going to have to fight back hard if we're not going to lose our country.
Yeah, the Northern Alliance, it's got to hurt that they got to have that woman as their go-to person. I don't know if the Northern Alliance still involves my old pal Mitch Berg. When I started in radio as a frequent caller to the Don Vogel Show, Mitch Berg, who I believe is one of the founding members of the Northern Alliance, he was either an engineer or producer, I can't remember which, for Vogel, and later on got his own late-night show. But he's a neighbor of mine, lives a few blocks away. Good man, nice guy. He and I couldn't see more differently politically. But he... I got to knock on his door and say, how does it feel to have Michelle Bachman as I mean, of all the people you could have, there got to be some people out there that you could have representing your views where you wouldn't have any embarrassment. That's what stings. I mean, the guy could come back and say, well, people on the left are going to have Al Franken, and I could say at that point, touche, but here's the deal. It's not a finished thing yet. And it seems like if you're a Democrat, you have a few other people to pick from. Michelle Bachman, is there another Republican in the state of Minnesota besides Bachman and Pawlenty? Does anyone else ever make the news? Is anyone else featured in any Star Tribune story? Is there anyone who gets any press at all? This woman is everywhere.
I don't think any of the other Republicans in, well, obviously Eric Paulson is new, so maybe he'll get more into it. But Bachman, it seemed like she just loves being interviewed and being, you know, on national TV shows much more than any other representative, really. And then she's always the one, I mean, she's watched by everyone because she says the most ridiculous things, and the way she compares herself and uses these weird, crazy ways of explaining things in Washington. I just don't understand why they keep letting her talk.
Yeah, you'd think they'd just say, if nothing else, let's let someone else front and center for a while. It's like Bill Maher wrote recently. He said, I'm watching the Republicans trying to figure out, are they going to go the way of people like Peggy Noonan and David Brooks and people like that, are they going to go the way of Sarah Palin and you know, people like Michelle Bachmann, where you're just dealing with caricatures? Are you gonna try and bring some legitimacy back to this party, or is it just going to become you know, a national a caricature, a cartoon, a joke? I think that's a decision these guys are struggling with on that side ideologically. Give me one more before we wrap up, Em.
There was one kind of interesting thing that the U of M announced. They're going to be having the Stent Scientist come on April 18th to speak at the Bell Museum.
Did you say Stent?
Stent, yeah, like smells.
Scent. I thought you meant Stent as in, you know, the Boston Scientific. Okay, I got you.
So he's going to be talking about the science of, like, it's called the seduction of scent.
Really?
And so he's going to be talking about the role that smell plays in everyone's lives and how, you know, how science can back up why you, you know, might be tempted or repelled by certain scents, which I think is a very interesting concept. And
When is this?
April 18th.
At the U?
Yep.
Is this something open to everybody?
It's open to everyone, but it's tickets, and it's
$30. Okay.
But then they're going to be doing, like, a reception afterwards with wine and dessert and all kinds of fun.
I might have to see about having that guy on. Is there any possibility of that selling out? Sometimes if there's no possibility, they have a guy like that on ahead of time to try to drum up some ticket sales. I'd like to talk to that fella. Will you do me a favor? Will you email me something on that as a reminder?
Yeah, definitely. And there was a press release, too, so there's contact people that can probably get you hooked up with them, too.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you, Emily. Appreciate your time. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Emily Kaiser of City Pages. Number here, if you'd like to call, 651-330-4091. That's 651-330-4091. Email mishki@citypages.com. Paul, the subject of this email. Mishki, the call with Paul was great, almost as good as Undertaker Fred when he talked about drinking his friend's pee. For those who don't know what the devil that email's about, oh, I love that sound. That's money. That's money. When I was at KSTP and I took a phone call and the phone call finished, you had to press one button. In this new gig, you have to press two. It'll take me a long time to figure out that to finish a call, I have to hit two buttons, not one. Might be months, years. I had 17 years of pressing one button. We don't know how long it'll take for me to get used to the new program. But I've done better on some things. How many days in a row did I struggle trying to find the phone number to call Emily? It was pathetic. Now I'm one-touch Tommy. I mean, I have one button now. I got it all rigged up. No problems. I mean, I'm capable of learning, much like our primate ancestors. Where was I? Oh, one time I'm talking Undertaker Fred. Years ago, late night KSTP, talking Undertaker Fred, and Fred's going off on some tangent, and it's boring me. And to shift the topic, I just throw out briefly, Fred, sorry to interrupt, but what's the weirdest thing you've ever done? I didn't expect him to say anything too outlandish, but he didn't miss a beat. He just said, matter-of-factly, well, Tom, that would be when I was 13 years old. And a friend of mine and I went out and peed into little acorns and drank it. 80-some-year-old man, I thought, holy buckets, he had that story already. I mean, he knew exactly what the weirdest thing he ever did was. He said, oh, yeah, 13? Yep, tell you exactly what it was. Me and my buddy went out, we peed into acorns and drank it. Next question, please. Her husband died, then she got the hospital bill. Dateline, Wisconsin. As her husband lay dying at the University of Wisconsin Hospital, Ruth Ann Lewis was given a form. Sign it, hospital staff said, or your husband Dan won't get the liver transplant. The form said Ruth Ann would have to pay for the procedure if the couple's insurance did cover it. She signed the form like any decent-hearted woman would in love with her husband. Well, Dano got the transplant, but he died 3 weeks later. Guess what? Turns out insurance didn't cover it. and the hospital has sent Ruth Ann the bill. As she buries her husband, she's handed a bill for $566,000. She's a public school teacher, fears she'll have to file for bankruptcy or even lose her house. She said, I just tried to help him live. Her predicament highlights some aspects of the healthcare system that can arise in difficult situations. What really was her option? Her husband's dying in front of her. Dan is. He needs a new liver. They come to her and they say, we got a liver for him, but I mean, we're not putting this in for nothing. We don't know that insurance is going to cover this, so if they don't, you got it. Now you got to sign here? I'll sign there. They put the liver in Dano. Dano dies 3 weeks later. Insurance says, eh, we ain't paying for it. $500,000 she owes. She's a school teacher. What is your option when they hand you a piece of paper like that to sign? Dano, I just don't think the transplant's going to take anyway. I know you want it, what with you dying and all, but it's $500,000, champ. And if you do die, you obviously won't be paying it. I'll be stuck with the bill. Afraid I'm going to have to cut you loose, hubby old pal. If there were some kind of dirt cheap transplant option, sort of an Axeman special or a liquidation offer of some sort, well, maybe then. Or if some store-bought liver would work. Of course, most of that at the grocery store is your animal liver. I don't think that's going to do it. Anyway, $500,000, that's a lot of money. I don't see you making it all that long, Dano. What's the point of this, really? I mean, if you're going to die in the next year, I say die now. See you, Dan. I'll be sad, but more financially secure. You'll be dead, unable to complain. Sounds like the best we can hope for. It's been a good run, hon. But you're kind of done, hon. See that sudden sun, hon? Let me get you a gun, hon. And Dan was suddenly history, put out of his misery. And she was finally free and saved all that money. Yes. What is it about a rhyme that's so enjoyable? Has anybody studied that? While you're studying scent, can you determine why a rhyme is called into the ear? It's very pleasing to my ear. Why? I used to hear Little Richard interviewed. And he rhymed everything. That was, you ever see Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll? Keith Richards' tribute to Little Richard? No, wait a minute, it's Chuck Berry. It was Keith Richards' tribute to Chuck Berry, but I think Little Richard was in it. They were interviewing Little Richard. He felt compelled to rhyme his answers. It's a lot of work, but it was fun to hear. You opened up your morning paper today, and you got a sense that fundamentalist Christians are perhaps feeling pretty good about their predictions that the end times are near. First of all, you have the flooding story. That would be your Red River flood. And then you have a volcano in Alaska erupting four times. And then if you're looking for pestilence, you have a deadly Brazilian spider found in an Oklahoma grocery store, more expected. And, well, there's just a sense that these guys are being fed everything they need to confirm that their Book of Revelation's prophecies are coming true. What else was there? Were there any fires or what else? Floods, pestilence, plagues. Well, there are plenty of plagues. Pope's talking about plagues right now in Africa. I believe the Pope himself is plaguing Africa. What with his refusal to say condoms might help out there. Good news, however, across the ocean. Former Naples garbage czar plans to lead an emergency refurbishing of the famous antiquities in that region of Europe. What's fascinating to me is all the statues and columns and aqueducts and the baths and the Colosseum and the Pantheon and all those incredible things. They're being handed to the garbage czar. This is a real story. You'll find it in today's news. Former Naples garbage czar plans to lead emergency efforts to repair Rome's crumbling monuments. The Italian government has tapped the man who handled Naples' garbage problems to deal with another emergency, the shabby state of many ancient monuments in Rome. He was dubbed the garbage czar when Italy decided Rome was filthy, and he cleaned up that city. And now they're saying, hey, garbage czar, will you take on our crumbling monuments? And he's going to do it. All the people they could have picked, they got the garbage czar. I'd at least rename them. But he's, I don't know if you folks have ever been to Rome. I always thought those things in disrepair was how they wanted it. I thought that was a look they were going for. I didn't know they thought it was a drag that the Colosseum wasn't functional. I thought they kind of liked that appearance. Nope, this guy's got to spruce the place up. The garbage czar. The garbage czar. I'm the former Naples garbage czar. My ambitions, they never went that far. You see, I never wanted to be a star. I was as happy as a Naples garbage czar. But then they came to me with that request. Garbage czar, give us your best. Sir, by any and all measures, you are the one to preserve our treasures. TV news would soon be on, so I raced straight to the Pantheon. Cameras rolled, people stared, as everything there was repaired. For miles, gawkers, you could see 'em as I worked away on the Colosseum. They said, thanks, pal. I said, shucks, and I raced off to fix the aqueducts, the columns, and the statues, too. They all seemed to need some glue. Should have seen 'em all make a fuss when I worked on Circus Maximus. They said, now the Vatican. I said, nope, they have a czar there. They call him the Pope. I only work on ancient Rome, but I will go check out the catacombs. You guys ever check out the catacombs? I didn't go down there when I was in Rome. That was a little too spooky to me. I don't even like the name. Someone ought to put out a new film, Stephen King perhaps, call it Catacomb. You'd go without knowing one thing about it. You wouldn't need to see a trailer. Stephen King's new film, Catacomb. You'd go. Of course you'd go. Who wouldn't go? It sounds creepy as hell. Catacomb! You know a guy named Lonesome Dan? Lonesome Dan Case is the man's name, ladies and gentlemen. He was on my show at the State Fair last year. Good man. Local boy.
Rat racism sure Lord it'll kill him. The place I long to be. When I was a young man, well, I come to this pretty long. Every man choose them. Right. Well, they'll break your heart now, and they gonna kill your spirit too. Take what they want, then they gonna be through to you. Just like the Eagle Mama and it Red Hot too. If we lose our home now, baby, what a nerve. What if we gonna do, rat racism? see my friend Johnny Long. Way down on the Mississippi River where the old high water rides. People running scared, they got the mist on in their eye. Every system now, Lord, it's sure gonna make you cry. Yeah, to break through your soul, living up, baby, come out on the other side.
You might see him playing around town. You might see all these folks playing around town. Dan, you'll just see sitting out somewhere sometimes just on a sidewalk. I was by Minnehaha Falls, and he was just sitting out on a sidewalk playing his guitar one day. I went up to him. I said, "Who the devil are you?" He said, "I'm Lonesome Dan." I said, "You want to play on my show?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "All right. Well, you have something you can give me?" He said, "Well, how's that?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to need something from you." He said, "I have some marbles. Let me look at them. Cat's eyes, huh? I like those." We made a deal then and there. He's been on ever since. GOP predicts doomsday if Obama budget passed. What's past participle? What, does anybody know what a past participle is? What's participle? Oh, participle collider, CERN, C-E-R-N, Switzerland. They just built that SOB. Ha, 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 ha. Changing the way the world speaks. The participle collider. GOP predicts doomsday if Obama budget passes. Congressional Republicans today predicted doomsday. If Obama's budget passes. If Obama's massive spending blueprint wins passage, it's doomsday. Say Republicans, it's over. It's over. It's over. How many times have you heard doomsday in the news? First ran into it years ago when I read about the doomsday clock. Some atomic scientists have been goofing around with a clock. I don't know why they don't get busy making some money putting food on the family's table, but they're goofing around with a clock all the time, moving the big hand closer to 12. You can look it up. Doomsday, often a synonym for Armageddon. Armageddon, the final battle between God and Satan in the New Testament. You know, you're God, okay? Can't you pretty much determine when the final battle is? Why didn't you have the final battle first? What, were you working out or training or something for it? I just don't understand why we're waiting still for the final battle. Why didn't you get this out of the way before Eden? Then we wouldn't have had to put up with half the crap we've had to put up, any of it. Why didn't you have a final battle with the freaking snake before he ever wandered up to Eve? Why the delay? Armageddon, the final battle between God and Satan. God, you could have saved so much pain and suffering. Fight them first, then make a planet. What's this? Doomsday is also used as a synonym for the last judgment, which will be the judgment by God of every human who ever lived. Oh, my God. Every human who ever lived? Picture how boring that's going to get after a while. It'll be like Simon Cole, or is it Cowell? Simon Scowl, Simon of the Cold Scowl. It'll be like Simon Cowell dealing with not just the final 12 on American Idol, but billions, one after another. The final judgment of every single human being ever. I think hell would be watching that. What all is there to say after you've ripped folks one after another for for general laziness and callousness. Isn't that pretty much what most of us are going to be beaten up for? Just a general laziness and callousness? Okay, next. What's your name? Bob Carlson. Okay, sit down there. Bob, you were callous and lazy as well. And your friends were too. And that guy behind you, he was a bad cook. And Tim there to your right never said please or thank you, but otherwise it's pretty much just general laziness and callousness. All right, how far down the list are we? We're only 150 deep, and we have billions and billions more to go. Oh, my God, the Last Judgment, what a ratings disaster it's going to be. A disaster. Webcast.
Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been getting messages from people saying they can't hear the stream?
I have not, so let me double check here. Nope, everything looks good. You can't hear it?
No, I started at like 2:45, and I get the thing up, and it is working like it should be playing, but I'm getting no audio.
And then depression set in. Hey, is that someone calling in on my freaking line now? They told me they fixed that. All right. We're playing hardball. All right. Get off the phone. All right. They told me they fixed that Friday, the shitheads. All right, hang on a second. God bless it. I don't even care anymore about the other problem. That beeping was supposed to stop Friday. I never asked for that. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gonna be a little rain sometimes. Get off the freaking phone. Could I call the phone company, please, you dwarfs? I hope I am.
I'm off the air now.
What? Get off the phone. Come on, Mom. I can't get a dial tone. I'm going to commit suicide or just have a smiley face guy take care of it for me, but I am not going to be here tomorrow. Now I don't have a phone. I don't have any phone service. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. This show is grinding to a halt right now. I have no phone. There it is. I got phone. Hang on. Yeah. Now I don't have a phone. I don't have a phone on line one. What is going on here?
Hello?
Look at that. Why won't it hang up? Okay, that hangs up. And then that hangs up. Ring. Hang on a second. Seriously. Display dial. Speaker. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, there's line two's working, but line two is not something that airs. We only air line one. Now line one has stopped. Pause. redial.
This show's. I'm going to yield some time here. I'm going to go long today because I am. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Remove. There's a remove directory view entries. That's line two. I get a dial tone. Hang that up. I go to line one. Now here's my dial tone. You're kidding me. I can't even call anybody. Now I know what Terry Anderson put up with for 7 years chained to a freaking radiator in Beirut, Lebanon. All right. There's an anger in me right now that normally involves breaking things. I'm fighting it. Hello. Look at how loud line two is. And I don't even have a line two. Okay, maybe we can do this, though. Oh, this might work. Yeah, because you can hear the speaker. I think
welcome
we're gonna...
to Comcast.
Yeah, this will work.
Assistance.
Yeah.
Plus one for English.
Okay.
Two for Spanish.
Sure.
And three for sports.
Yeah. This is all right. Did you just
change the state, please?
You're gonna do the speaker. St. Paul, Minnesota.
St. Paul, Minnesota. Is that right?
Damn straight.
Did you want St. Paul, Minnesota?
Yes!
What listing?
Comcast. Otherwise known as shitheads.
Sorry, that listing again, please.
Shitheads!
One moment, please. An operator will be right with you. Thank you for continuing to wait.
Reading at St. Paul, Minnesota. You're looking for a what listing, please?
Shithead?
Thank you. Do you have an address?
Yeah, 550 Crap Street.
Thank you. One more, please. What type of business is this?
Sanitation.
Thank you.
No, ma'am, I read it wrong. I need the number for Comcast in St. Paul. Comcast. Specifically, telephone service, residential telephone service.
Thank you. I have the number, ma'am. Have a good day.
Did you call me ma'am?
I'm sorry.
I'm a
number is 6.
You get back here.
2-2-2-3-3-3-3.
I already knew that number. It's damn near like calling Yellow Cab. Why do I have to? Okay. Okay, now I'm back. Now line one's working. Okay, hang on. All right, hang on. Oh, I think we're good. Now line one's working.
Thank you for calling Comcast. To continue in English, press 1.
Para continuar en español, presione el número 2.
Ocho andajos de Comcast, mention montan, llena number 3.
Verstehen Sie ganz sicher, ich hoffe, ich aus Lieben. Jetzt berät Sie, hier geht Putki. Und, 戦い、これや神様や、これ確か戦えるぞ。
For quality and training purposes, your call may be monitored or recorded.
Or hopefully by the UN.
For your home, press 1. For commercial services at your place of business, press 2. Again, for residential service in your home, press 1. For commercial services at your place of business, press 2.
I can't! The thing doesn't work! Hang on a second. Alright.
For trouble with your service, press 1. For billing inquiries, press 2. 1. High-speed internet, press 2. For home phone service, press 3. Please hold while we validate your information. For appointment information, press 1. For quick tips on how to access your Comcast enhanced voicemail, press 2. If you are experiencing a delay when making a phone call, press 3. If you are having a problem dialing an 11-digit long-distance number, press 4. For all other questions, press 5.
Did you know that Comcast offers...
They don't care.
...plan on all of your Comcast services? Yeah. Without this plan...
Did you know that Comcast is the last company I'll ever do business with again? I'll be working with the KKK before I'll be working again with Comcast. How do you like them apples? Do you know that I'll send money to the Tim McVeigh Defense Fund before I send a check to you asses?
Thank you. Please remain on the line while your call is transferred to a customer account executive.
All with pay-per-view.
Thank you for calling Comcast. My name is Jennifer. How may I help you?
Jennifer, you're not at fault for this because you're just an employee there and this is something you haven't done, but I've never been more upset in my life. Do you hear that beeping that's coming in periodically there? You probably don't, but when I'm talking to you, there's a call waiting beep. Yeah, and I never asked for that. Never wanted it, never requested it, ever. I do a live webcast where I talk to people, you know, all over the world, and that thing started happening last week, and I called on Friday and offered to, you know, pretty much donate my children to Comcast if they'd remove it. They said it would be removed. They said it would be done within 24 hours. Of course, 24 hours was taken care of quite a while ago. I'm wondering why I'm still hearing call waiting.
Okay, let me get your home telephone number, please.
Yeah. 651-330-4091.
Thank you.
If I hear the beep, there it's beeping again, see? Right now what I'd like to do, there's a 100-watt light bulb that's been burning all day. I'd like to push it against my cheek just to feel something other than the anxiety I feel right now.
Can I get your name and address, please?
Bob Beep. Bob. No, I'm... Mischke, M-I-S-C-H-K-E is the last name. I can't give out my address. It's top secret. Anything else you want, I can give you.
Well, I do need your street address. I don't need the full address, just the street.
Hewitt Avenue.
Okay, and the last four of your social, please.
Ah! 7445.
Thank you. Sorry, you've been having this trouble.
Well, it's not the end of the world. The end of the world is the fact that last night our house was burglarized and they took everything that I had in the way of electronics. So it's not as bad as that. And it's not as bad as, you know, dying of Alzheimer's, which both my parents are right now.
Oh, bless your heart. My goodness.
Beauty of Alzheimer's is, though, they'd forget about these problems pretty quickly, wouldn't they? And I don't.
Right. Going on here.
I have a headache right now. Been drinking a lot of wine. You'd think that'd do something about it, but nope, that just seems to exacerbate the problem. Maybe I'll relight this cigar, see if that does something. Hear that beep right there? I'm hearing it. They say Nietzsche at the end was in an insane asylum just laughing until he died. Probably dealt with this crap. Oh, boy. Remember when it was just Ma Bell? I loved it, too, because it was Mom.
And you just felt like they'd take care of you, you know, maybe even diaper you if you felt like it, even if you didn't need it. Just to...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the tobacco's helping. You know, the tobacco was put here by God. There must have been a reason for it. We weren't supposed to stare at it. It ain't the prettiest plant in the world, but it's good to...
Absolutely. Wine, too.
Wow. I was pretty upset a little while ago. Just talking to you has helped, actually. Thank God you're a woman. If you were a guy, I wouldn't be as calm.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, if I had my way, we just would remove men from planet Earth. It'd just be me and a bunch of women. That beep's not bothering me so much anymore, as long as you're a live human being. If you were a recorded voice right now, that beep would really be getting to me. I know it's bothering listeners.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. That always makes things worse.
Yeah. You learning anything there on that end?
I am.
What are you learning? What are you learning?
Slowly but surely. There's a lot to learn.
Because I pretty much raised hell on Friday, and that was supposed to be gone. And how hard can it be? It's probably a one-button thing. Oh.
Now, I'm showing a note from Friday saying it looks like they filed what we call an escalation form.
Escalation form. The problem's going to escalate?
Well, no, the resolution should escalate.
Now, how's that escalation going?
Well, that's what I'm checking on, because it says order should have closed on 3/17.
Yeah, that was a drunk Irishman, I think, in charge, and that was the end of that.
Let me look at your features and
my
see
features?
If it's still listed. Features, your phone features.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were getting my measurements or something.
Let me see.
This a good job?
Jobs are hard to get nowadays.
That's what I said. I was out of work for 3 months recently. Just happy to be back working again. Of course, the beeps aren't helping.
Yeah, my husband was laid off in mid-January. It's been difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult.
You ought to record the sound of a call waiting beep and just play it all day in the house while he sits around with a can of Miller in his hand. See if you don't end up eventually with, I don't want to say what would happen. I know what I'd do. What kind of a job did he do? What line of work was he in?
Well, we're both former journalists.
Get the hell out of here. Where did you work?
Several different cities. I started in Memphis.
For the Daily?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, kind of in a career transition right now, you know.
And a lousy one. Journalism, that was a good gig. Memphis, the northern tip of the Mississippi Delta, the confluence of gospel and rockabilly and country and rock and roll. And I mean, you were in hog heaven and you were working the newspaper there?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, I left to go back to school, and then I took a job with the St. Pete Times down in Florida, and so I thought I was going to return to Memphis after school, because when I was there, I could only take a class or two a semester, and so I decided just to go back full time.
And studying what?
Journalism.
Getting your master's?
No, undergrad.
Oh, so you were working in Memphis without a journalism degree?
Right, as an assistant, but writing stories and taking on more and more responsibilities.
I hear, though, that once you're working in the business, there's no point in getting a journalism degree. There's no better education than just doing the job.
Well, that's true, but when you're there, you know, they're real, you know, they don't want to put you in that gig without a degree, even if you've done it, you know, which looks really good later to other folks. But
did you work at any paper after St. Pete?
St. Pete and then Pensacola News Journal.
What city are you in now?
Pensacola.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you know that it's
Price
closer
crashing and burning.
Do you know that Chicago is a closer commute from Pensacola than Miami, Florida?
Is it really?
You can get to Chicago faster in an automobile from Pensacola than you can from Pensacola to Miami, Florida.
I did not know that. Wow. No. It's a long state.
Yeah, it is. And imagine driving from Pensacola to Miami with that beep in your head the entire time. And just imagine if at some point you wouldn't steer into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
Preferably running into some of the elderly who live down that way and, you know, are not too far from the end anyway.
Oh, me. Okay. I'm still showing this on your account.
Yeah, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it on my account.
Right, yeah. Right.
I wonder if I could get, you know, sometimes there's a pain and suffering compensation in these deals.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I could get something. I'm not a sawbuck, something.
No, I can give you a credit, absolutely.
That'd be great, because I never did want it, never asked for it. It just appeared one day out of the blue. It wasn't there week one. Week two, all of a sudden it just came. It's been a nightmare. I mean, it's not as bad as living in Darfur, but it's just this side of that.
Right. Okay, I'm going to check with someone on this too, because I just removed it from the account, but I can't imagine that they didn't do that the other day. It's very simple, so I want to make sure there's not something else going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I almost now all of a sudden I am imagining myself happier seeing a guy in this room with a big tool belt on, looking like he's been doing this for too many years, sort of that tired expression, maybe some facial hair, saying, where's the problem? Now I'm all of a sudden wanting a guy. I'm wanting that guy and all women and then no other guys.
Oh, man.
Because it seems like it might be a problem for a guy with a tool belt now, because you're not able to do it by just making six buttons go the right way.
Right, right. That's what I want to check on.
Yeah. I don't think I can, I honestly don't think I can handle another day hearing it. You know, call me a baby, call me whatever you want to, but I can't handle, it's almost like, it's like Chinese water torture. You know, people say, oh, what's the big deal? It's just water. Oh, yeah? People give up their mothers after a few drips. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Right.
Nietzsche, I'm coming! I'm coming, brother! We'll be there together. We'll be bunkmates.
Goodness. What kind
you got to get another job. You got to get out. If you don't mind cold weather, I can get you a job at City Pages, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You'd like it up here. Yeah. It's a publication. They'd fix you up. What are you making an hour there?
9.
Oh, I can top that. They add an extra buck just for the snow alone up here. If you want to, the cool thing about cold weather is, It not only does it shake out the riffraff, it kills the bugs. You don't have bugs for us. You guys got bug problems down there. I know about that.
We do always.
We haven't had a crime in the winter here in 4 years. Our crime is usually in the spring through the summer and fall, but we don't have crime in the winter because of the cold.
Webcast do you do?
I do a webcast for City Pages, which is a publication up this way, kind of a arts and entertainment and alternative news publication weekly, and they have a .com site.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only been doing it, well, a couple of weeks, but this beeping thing, oh man, just drives a man to drink. I mean, now, I already start to show drinking, so it's not really fair to accuse the beep as responsible. But in AA, that's what I'd say. It was the beep prior to the beep. You know, I was a Catholic priest. Wait, that doesn't help in terms of sobriety. I was a Mormon priest. Mormon priestess. Mormon bartender. Mormon. Mormon.
Let me check on this for you. Can you hold on for me? Just a moment?
Sure, I got nothing going.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You've got to be kidding me. No. 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 Bring back the beep if that's what I got to listen to. I can get you better music than that.
Keep on while I can. Stuck here in the skin of this wrinkled man. Young ones try to understand the rules. Like chasing a rainbow, looking at the sky. Standing in gold, one eye behind me, the other down the road. That's life. I'm so tired, like pieces I've bound with twine. I've cried a lot, just a little. I'm lying in my sweet lover's arms, yes I am, lying in my sweet baby's arms. Keep on while I can. Staring at the lines in your weathered hands, I remember all the things you said to me. Like raising these kids here, seeds hit the soil and scatter.
Okay, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Oh, okay. I got that removed from the account.
Now, what gives you that kind of confidence?
Well, I just checked with the supervisor, and
okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I got another phone right here.
Okay.
And I'm calling me.
Okay.
91. Pressing it. See what happens.
Now, I don't know that it's going to take effect.
There's the beep.
Yeah, I mean, like I say,
Is it going to take effect in 2009, or what are you thinking?
No, no. And I'd say 24 to 48 hours.
Oh, I thought you said no, 2010. That's what they told me on Friday. Okay, I'll hold you. What's your first name again?
Jennifer.
Okay, Jennifer, I'm going to hold you to this. Now, of course, there's no way for me to call you specifically, is there?
No, I'm at this one. Number.
God, there's the beep again. 24 to 48 hours. That means I could put up with this during tomorrow's show. Mm. Okay. Well.
I'm here.
You sure you fixed it? I mean, how? You really sure? Because they were sure on Friday. Why are you so sure? I don't understand that.
Well, I've done everything that I can do.
Yeah, you've done it. Right, but is there someone else who could do more, possibly, or no? Who's your boss?
Head supervisor. His name is Jason Campbell.
Mm-hmm. And I, just for the hell of it, I want to talk to him just to say, Jace, tell me you have my back on this. Is he around?
Well, he's not going to come to the phone. One of our team leaders are going to come to the phone.
Team leader. All right. And then he's right above the team leader?
Mm-hmm.
What's
right.
he do all day? Sits in an office, smokes cigars, and says, hey, the team leaders are painting my fence for me. This is great. All right, I'll talk to a team leader.
Okay, sure.
Thanks for all you did.
Oh, absolutely.
Good luck with that journalism career. I'd get out of this as soon as you can. You know, I'll tell you something. We always need writers in this world. You know, there's never going to be a time where we don't want writers around. So.
Yeah. Newspapers are just having so much trouble right now.
But remember, you're not going to learn this gig sitting in a classroom. I think this experience you're having now will be wonderful for your future as a writer, along with about a million other experiences. To hell with school. Just go live, and you'll have something to write about.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that very much. Okay, let me just make some notes here while we're waiting. Okay, I've got someone here.
Team
you
want to
hold on for me just a moment?
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. That's the first thing the team leader's going to hear. Someone decided this would be good music to have on. Who was that? Who decided? Merv Griffin's dead. Wasn't Merv.
With you soon.
Yeah,
please hold the line. We'll be right back with you.
Give me 6 mile growers. Should tell these guys about 6 mile growers. That song Steel Mule I was playing.
Are you getting mixed signals about what's happening with the digital broadcast transition?
I'm getting mixed signals in more ways than you can ever know.
In February 2009, all full-power broadcast television stations are changing over to digital-only broadcasting. But if you're a Comcast customer and your TVs are connected to Comcast service,
past 4 o'clock and I want a team leader.
We've got you covered. If you or someone you know is using an antenna to watch broadcast TV, you'll have some decisions to make. For more information, visit Comcast.com/DTV. Or please hold and someone will be with you shortly.
I want this playing at my funeral. Not because those gathered will enjoy it, but so I'll be happy I'm dead. Makes you want to remove the saxophone from planet Earth, doesn't it? Sort of a Peter Gabriel groove in a way. All right, 10, 9, 8, 7.
Thank you for holding. My name is Anna. How can I help you?
Anna, are you a team leader?
Yes, I am. How can I help you today?
What's the role of a team leader? I'm just curious as to what role you play in this big picture.
Well, I'm responsible for a lot of different things. Well, one of them is to develop the other team members, also reporting to management when necessary.
Develop them? How's that development going? I think I was dealing with a Jennifer. Is that the one? Yeah. Good lady. I hope she gets out of that gig, though. She should be a journalist. But I can't be 100% certain she's taken care of the problem because there was another wonderful lady on Friday who said she took care of the problem. So I'm handing the problem to you, team leader. And if you want to send it up the line, that's fine by me, but I can't call again. I refuse to have this problem linger so much as one more day and have to call again because at that point, really, I become, I think, dangerous to society. This beeping that I keep hearing, which is call waiting, I've been trying for the longest time to get removed. I never asked for it, never wanted it. It just daily pretty much drives me to a domestic abuse. What's the solution, do you think?
Well, sir, we have removed it from your account.
That's what the lady said Friday.
They look back at the ticket that she had put in. It doesn't look like she had gone through the... There's two steps that are necessary, and it doesn't look like she...
Oh, the lady on Friday forgot the second step? The lady on... The lady on Friday forgot the second step, is that it?
Beg your pardon?
The lady on Friday I talked to forgot to follow through with a second step?
Yes, sir. That's what it looks like. I can't be certain, but that's what it looks like. Is that?
How many customers you deal with on a given day? Probably thousands, huh?
No, I don't know, sir.
I'm just thinking where I fall priority-wise, you know. Okay, George Orwell wasn't 100% dead on, but we're in his territory right now. I'm just wondering... You know, you picture 1763, you want a problem taken care of. You go down, Bob fixes it. We're not anywhere near that, are we?
No, sir.
Who's above you, the top gun?
No, sir. But like I said, we have this taken care of, and...
You know the mayor in the film Jaws when he tells people the beaches are open, it's a beautiful day? That's... I'm not saying that's exactly what you're sounding like, but that's the image flashing in my mind right now. Next thing you know, there's a kid dead from the shark. But I believe you, I guess. I mean, I have no reason not to, but wow, a third call will certainly be unfortunate if tomorrow it's still there, the beeping.
Well, sir, it could take up to 72 hours for that.
We're at 72 now? Whoa.
Well... For a feature change, it has to go through the different switches in the system.
And I'd be accepting of 72 hours if I had asked for this feature in the first place. Because I'd say, well, that's your own fault for asking for it. But to never have asked for it, I think it should go away in less than 72 hours. Don't you think so for a guy who never asked for this feature in the first place?
Well, sir, it is automatic when you get the service.
Really?
They didn't.
It's automatic! Even though you might not want it, you just give it to people thinking they'll love the beep. The beeping will be a fun thing to hear while they're having a conversation. That's extraordinary that you just give it to people without asking. What does it take to ask? 3 seconds. Do you want it? I don't understand why you wouldn't do that.
Well, normally they should have asked you if you wanted those features. But I am sorry. It is being removed, and like I said, it could take up to 72 hours.
All right, and ask that journalism student if it isn't true that it's as I said, not like I said. Sorry, I hate to be nitpicky, but it's as I said, not like I said. My mom was a school teacher. It's a big deal with her. I just have to get that out of the way because she might be listening. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I appreciate your time. That woman who worked with me, Jennifer, give her a raise. $9 an hour that's a travesty. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. The show's over.